welcome to Inspired Island, where every episode we sit down with someone living an inspired life here on Vashon Island in Puget Sound. From world-class artists and musicians to chefs and business owners, our little rural island has it all. I'm your host, Grace McCray, a new full-time Vashon Island resident, and thank you for joining me on this journey to discover why Vashon is such an inspired island. Welcome back to Inspired Island. Now, this is going to be a fun episode as we have Aimé Cartier in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
And Aimé is a seer, a psychic guide, and an intuition and empath teacher who helps her clients and students align with their own personal highest good. She's also the author of Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. Aimé is not a stranger to the studio, as she also hosts a show here on Voice of Vashon that you may have listened to. It's called Intuition for Changemakers. And if you haven't checked it out, I encourage you to do so. Now, Aimé, when people ask you about your work, you know, when you're out and about, how do you describe what you do?
Mm-hmm. Good question, because the word psychic is often very weird for people. The way that I describe it really, or what it actually is oftentimes people come to me when they're at a crossroads and they're not really clear of either which way to go, or sometimes their soul isn't really understanding or is confused about what this moment means for them, what they're learning or what they're trying to get out of it. Mm. Usually that specific thing manifests in confusion about which way should I go, what should I do, or I'm not clear, or just, I guess, uncertainty would be the biggest thing. So what I do is look into it for them and see what paths are open, which ones are in alignment with their highest good, which ones are the way that their soul is wanting to move in one way or another.
Mm.
That makes sense.
And do you usually have a personal view of what the next best step is? Or do you tend to see many different options for somebody when they're at a crossroads like that?
I mean, sometimes it really depends on the reading or the person and what the circumstances are. There's no real pattern to it that I could say. I suppose I could say that it's true that most often there is a best way. Sometimes it doesn't matter. It depends on what moment they're in, but that's less often. Usually there is a wide open path and one that is either closed or it's just full of hang up after hang up after hang up. Like, it would be very hard, or like, yeah, it would be hard to go down that way. There'd just be obstacle after obstacle, and they wouldn't get where they want to go anyway if they were on that path. So mostly I would say that it's usually very obvious, the path that is open and the path that isn't. Although, like I also said, depending on the circumstances, sometimes it's like, it doesn't really matter if you sell your house now or you sell your house later. It's the same thing is going to arrive because of it, if that makes sense.
Definitely. Do you think in the year 2025 that it's harder than usual, or harder than maybe it has been in the past, to tap into your own intuition? Like, the clients that you see, do you feel like, I guess I'm asking from a personal standpoint, just with everything going on day to day, sometimes I think I struggle to really tap into my intuition.
Super good question. That's really interesting. I guess I have a couple different perspectives on that. One, considering like what you're talking about, which is probably just this flood of information that we're all subject to nowadays, which is very different than times in the past that we lived, where information was like a trickle. Now we're like, we have access to everything all the time. Everything that happens in the world, every little nuance of thing is literally at our fingertips while we're laying in bed. That can be overwhelming. So the amount of noise is perhaps, I mean, I definitely see that it is distracting for people. And without taking time away from that noise, it will be harder to hear your intuition, for sure, because we don't tend to prioritize silence solitude, those types of things, or just like doing nothing, mm-hmm. which is necessary for the being, for the spirit, for the body. So there are, I can see on one hand that that is true, that there is an overwhelmingness of information. And if you're not prioritizing these quiet moments, nothing, it's harder to hear. But at the same time, I also feel that the times that we're living in make intuition just more vital than ever, because we are also in the same way exposed to so much. And some of it is true, some of it isn't. I mean, as I say to my kids all the time, you know, anyone can put anything on the internet. Just because you saw it on YouTube doesn't mean it's true. Mm-hmm. It feels more vital than ever to me that people start tuning into this thing that we all have. It's not unique to me. It's a human experience that we all have intuition. We have, I think, since humans existed. And so, like, my answer feels twofold, because I feel like it's actually more vital than ever, because it's the sense that we have that guides us very specifically in our life with very specific details that are like, what I get is true for me, details about what I need to do in my life, direction. What you will get is true and very specific to you and the circumstances of your life. And so it feels to me more vital than ever that we are all remembering that this is a sense that we have, and that it is intended to guide us in our life very specifically toward why we are here, what pathways work best for us, what will help us succeed at whatever our particular soul is here to do. Mm-hmm. That's why we have it. That's what the sense is for.
Yeah. Yeah. And in terms of how this work, how you navigate your work, so you have the podcast, you have your book, and I think from your website, you also do personal readings, and then you do trainings and mm-hmm. classes. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I do readings, which are, yeah, personal. Somebody comes with a question. They choose a number of time, like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or an hour. Those are the ones where I'm talking about, where people are generally at a crossroads where they're trying to figure out which way to go. And then I have my podcast, which is a lot of the stuff that I teach. I teach it more in depth in my programs. Mm-hmm. I have a year-long program called Solutionaries. I used to also have a year-long or a seven-month program called For Empaths specifically. I'm not teaching that one anymore, but I do have a self-study program that you can do if you're an empath, where I distilled all the like things that I feel like empaths must know to feel good in their bodies in this world. So I have a few self-study programs where people can just go at their own rate and do that. One of them is about, I'm trying to think of the title. I just got back from vacation. So as I was saying to you before we started, I'm just arriving from another continent a little bit, but it's something called How Is It My Intuition? Like, how to discern whether it's your intuition or not, how to understand the tells that it has so that you don't have to be in this confused of, wait, is that my intuition or is that something else speaking? Which should I listen to? And then I have another self-study that I'll probably launch at the end of this month, which is called Intuition for Changemakers. And it's relative to specifically for changemakers, for activists, for people who feel that they have something to contribute right now to making this world a better place. Mm. So using intuitive tools to understand, to stay connected to their highest self, to be able to find balance even in times of chaos, for example.
Yes. And I was going to bring this up later, but I think it would be a great segue now. You have an upcoming event happening this coming weekend for Vashon Islanders, correct?
Yes.
Along those lines.
Yes, I do. That one is called Intuition for Activists, and it's free for Vashon people. I mean, it's not, I'm really just offering it to our community just because for me, this feels like something I can offer for these times. This is this is the scope that I work in. These are the things that I teach. And prior to my career as a psychic, I was an activist, an environmental activist, and I worked for several different organizations. So I'm familiar with what happens when you're an activist, and it's just so easy to burn out because there's so many causes and good things that you want to understand. So when I was looking at these times that we're living in, I really thought, you know, I want to offer this to my community because this is what I do. It comes easily for me, and I would love to just be able to contribute that. So yeah, that's this coming weekend.
That's beautiful. And that's, I think, modeling what is, I think, really important for these times, is everybody bringing their own unique gift and what they have to offer. It might not always look, it shouldn't always look the same as somebody else with their offering. So that's really cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm definitely going to be checking that one out. And going back to the empath, I think that's kind of a hot word. I see it popping a lot in social media, et cetera. I've been told, you know, the E word, empathy or empath, has been, you know, my mother has used it for me, like talking about as a kid, things that I would get really upset about or whatnot. What's the intersection? Is there an intersection between intuition and empathy?
Okay. So I would call it empathic ability, because to me, empathy is something everybody has. Most people, I should say, most people have it. It's like my husband has empathy, but he's not empathic. Empathy is the ability to understand how somebody is feeling.
Mm.
So the way that I would describe being empathic or being an empath is you feel what other people are feeling in your own skin, as though it is you. So somebody else in the room is angry or sad or having an experience, and you also in your own body are suddenly frustrated or sad, or like a common tell is an empath will be like, when somebody is telling them a sad story, they will also be crying along with the person. That's just one little tiny thing that you commonly see in empaths. They're having the experience of the emotion in their skin, as even though it doesn't belong to them, it's actually the emotion of the other person.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a helpful distinction. Yeah.
So relating to intuition, I think being an empath is just something that some people are and some people aren't. I think it's actually more to do with your makeup and how your body is than exclusive to intuition. Mm-hmm. For example, it's sort of like I think of it, of all the different ways that people are intuitive, you can break it down into a bunch of different categories. Like some people, like for instance, I'm a seer. So I see things in my mind when people are coming to me, when clients are coming to me for things, I understand and see things that are going to happen, think like their open roads, they're the ones that are closed. I can understand pieces of what's going on with their soul and what they're learning right now, or what they're here for, or what their gifts are.
Mm.
That's just one particular way that intuition works. Being an empath is yet another particular way that people are intuitive. So you don't have to be an empath to be intuitive in any way. Some people are and some people aren't. It's just one characteristic of a sense that feels like it holds so many other particulars and senses and ways that it exists.
Mm, fascinating. That's really helpful. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, personally, it's good to understand those distinctions. And I think, personally, I feel like I'm probably just very empathetic. I can read energy of rooms very easily, but I don't necessarily like mirror other people's. I have a physiological response to other people's emotions, but it doesn't necessarily mirror always.
Got it.
What theirs is.
Okay. I love that example, because it's just like another one of the ways. I don't know how many, there's like, who knows how many there are, but like being able to read a room and feel that experience, that's just one of many, many ways that intuition manifests.
Okay.
And we're each different in how it works in our body and the specifics of that. And yeah, That's kind of how I see it.
Super cool. Must make your work very interesting and ever-changing. What's your personal story in terms of tapping into these gifts and knowledge about yourself and how other people are wired?
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting question. I often feel like I'm just wired this way. I don't know. Like when I look back, I have one defining moment that I think of in my mind, and that is I was having a conversation with a friend, and we were working together, and we were like in the kitchen of where we work, and he was telling me about these troubles that he and his girlfriend were having, and mm-hmm. he was upset about it and just was worried about their future, for example, that's what was happening. And in that moment, I just could see that, yes, all the things that he was saying were valid and those were true, but I could also see that they had this whole future ahead of them that had a long road. This blip in time, while important and relevant, was not the end in any way. It was just one experience they were having, and that their road together was quite long. So I think of that moment because it felt just totally normal for me. It wasn't like this crazy thing happened, and I was just standing there listening to him, and he was telling me, and I was like, yep, I hear what you're saying, but that's not how it's going to happen. It's going to unroll like this. And it wasn't weird or unusual. It didn't feel crazy or anything. It felt just, the only word I can use is normal. It's just like the way that I am, that I see things, that things happen to me. So I feel like, you know, my walking into this as a profession came about with a couple different ways. I didn't even know this was a profession at that time. I was just like chatting with my friend, and this happens to me. Like, I see things and I will tell them to people. Sometimes depends on the situation. But around that time, I was in a library, and I liked it. The way that I think of it in my mind is like the book kind of like fell off the shelf to me, which isn't true at all. Exactly. But it was sort of like that shining moment where I was like, what is that? This book is calling me. Yellow book. Pulled it out. And it was a book called The Psychic Pathway by Sonia Choquette. And when I read the introduction, I had this dawning realization that, one, I was like, this woman sees the world like I do.
Oh, cool.
And in the moment, I realized not only this is a profession, she actually does this for a living, but also not everyone does this. Because, like I said, it wasn't a weird thing or anything to me. It was just normal. It was what happened to me, I saw things when people were telling me things. So it never felt weird or strange.
Cool.
So that was a moment where I realized that. And then later, I don't know, I can't remember the exact timeline, but like within it, I'm not sure actually. I shouldn't even say it because I'm not sure. But later, at a certain point, I started getting the message that I should be doing readings. And it was this woman, Sonia Choquette, that kind of, I was taking a class from her that had nothing to do with doing readings. It was about chakras and things. And she was like, why aren't you doing readings? She asked me when we were in class together. And so this was all over the phone, like that kind of a class. And so she, again, sort of provided the kick in the pants that I needed to just like walk to downtown Seattle and be like, look for a place that did readings and walk in the door and be like, are you hiring anybody? And that's what I did. She was like, well, give me a reading. And I was like, okay. And so I did. And then she hired me.
Wow. Was it scary to do that the first time?
You know, it was... It's funny, like it comes back to where I started of when I was answering your question of, I don't, I feel like I don't even know. I feel like I've been doing this profession for a long time, yeah. millennia. Like, I don't really know how I know how to do it. I mean, it feels like my training came in other lifetimes, and this is just something a service I offer most times. But I also was like, what the heck? Because I didn't have any specific training, it's weird. I went to college. I had like a very regular upbringing. Nobody was, although when I look at my family, I see that many of them have these gifts as well, but none of them are professional psychics or anything of the like. So there's an element of like, wow, this is what I'm doing. And I don't have any forebears doing this. I haven't seen a path before me that other people do. But so it had a simultaneously like, okay, I guess I'm doing this. And also a feeling of normalcy. Like when I was doing the reading for the woman who was the owner of the shop, the same things happened. She asked me the questions and I could see the things and, you know, relayed the messages. And that was that.
That's cool. And it sounds like you were never, as you grew up, nobody overtly like shamed you or gave you negative feedback on your gift. Cause I know that sometimes with, especially like creative folks, we've talked about it here on Inspired Island before, you know, people might have, these gifts might have shown early on in their life, but it was kind of, they veered away after getting some negative feedback on, you know, those gifts.
Yeah. Fortunately, I never had those. I think it was mostly very internal for me. I've always been very connected to the ethereal. It feels like, you know, almost as loud to me as the physical world, but it wasn't like I was walking around talking about that all the time or anything. Yeah. I just like,
you weren't holding readings in middle school.
No, I was like, what is telepathy? That is very interesting.
Yeah. Like,
but I didn't dive into it or didn't really have any, like I said, it was just mostly internal feelings, which I think is why I didn't even know that that was different than other people.
Yeah.
Until I read Sonia's book and was like, oh, not everybody, this doesn't happen to everybody. I had no idea.
Yeah. And how old would you guesstimate that you were at that first reading, like actually getting hired?
Oh,
to give readings.
See. I think it was around 2007.
Okay. And as an empath, have you learned tricks and things that you do to protect yourself when you're in readings with other people?
You know, that's what I used to teach in my program, and what my self-study program still entails is the tools that I taught myself to be able to live in the world happily and not feel like I had to hide. But it doesn't necessarily, it's not really specifically related to readings. It's more related to just being in the world. It can be very overwhelming to feel all the things, especially in extreme circumstances or when many people are having an experience together. So those used to be, to me, they felt fewer and farther between. Like I can think of one before 2007 ish, you know, and now we just have been dealing with a lot of collective trauma regularly for quite a while now. So the tools aren't really unique to my readings at all. They're really just how to live as an empath and not have to download everybody else's experience. And mostly the reason it is protection, but I feel like the more, or I should say equally vital reason is that it's really important for each of us to be able to be in touch with who we are. And when you are just downloading everybody's information, if your voice or feeling isn't the loudest, then that's not the one that's the most prominent. So you want to be able to discern what is you and what is other people so that you can follow what your path is instead of what your mom thinks or your neighbor or your sister or your best friend or whoever it is, however well-intentioned or not.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And thinking about your work, what is your personal favorite aspect of
Yeah, thank you for asking that. I started out doing readings, and I also taught even in the early days, like in probably before 2010. But more and more over time, I just love teaching. Mm. I just love having these conversations with my students, giving them the tools that I use, and having them, witnessing them have the realization that their intuition is working. It's always been working for them, and that when they follow it, just magic happens. And so I would say the shortest answer is I love teaching. Even readings are good and fine. I say that anyway. I have a bigger love, I think, right now for teaching than I even do during readings. I mean, it's always satisfying to do readings at the end. People feel uplifted and seen, and it feels clarifying for them. So there's a good feeling that happens for me. But I just feel so strongly that our intuition is our soul's compass. And the more that we can each listen to it, the better the whole world is. Because as you were saying at the beginning, it takes each of us following and being who we are. So when I have the opportunity to watch other humans unfold with their own, recognizing their own innate wisdom, it just makes my heart sing.
Yay. And your book, I guess that's a way to teach, right? That's another pathway. Could you tell us a little bit about your book?
Yeah, sure. So my book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life, that's what it's called. I wrote it because it's been 15 years now, actually, since I published it. And it's evergreen. It's still the processes that I use and still teach this in my longer programs as well. But I wrote it because I wanted everyone to know that you don't need to be a professional seer in order to get the answers that you need. That this is accessible to anyone, literally anyone. And it's not hard. It's very easy. So I wrote it because I wanted other people to know, hey, you can also do this. This isn't an exclusive thing. I mean, I do it for other people as a profession, but everyone has access to this. Mm. And you can get the answers that you need in your life. So it's a four-step formula. I don't even feel like I invented it. I really just feel like I feel like seers throughout time have, I don't know if we just innately know this or what, but it's easy and it's accessible to anybody, and you can do it no matter what your question is or what you want to know.
Yeah, very cool. And how did you get to Vashon? where did you grow up? Also, yeah. I didn't ask that.
I grew up in Minnesota.
Okay.
And from the time that I could write, that I wrote in a journal, like one of my first entries is, I hate the winters here. I am leaving as soon as I can. And so that's what I did. I went to college there, but it was 3 days after I graduated from college. I was like, au revoir, see you later. I will not be coming back here to live. And so I left Minnesota at that time. And I lived a lot of places in my adulthood. I was in the Peace Corps in Senegal and lived different places also in the US. But every time I felt like I loved the people, like who I met, who the friends that I had, but the place wasn't right. It was like, yes, you, but not here. I can't. Like, I think about, I lived in Colorado for a while, and there wasn't enough water for me. It was just parched, just not for my body. And so it was a series of circumstances after I'm debating what pieces to tell the story, where I was living in upstate New York at an ashram as well, like at a meditation ashram. And at that moment in time, when I was finished there, I knew I wanted to find home, like with the right people and the right place, so that I didn't have to keep moving. And I just followed several people mentioned to me Port Townsend. I arrived in Port Townsend and I was like, cute place, not mine, but cute. But it was the people that I met there that pointed me to Vashon. And it was sort of like this, the way that it felt to me was a friend of mine was like, blah, 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 Vashon, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what? What's that word? What? What's Vashon? And she told me and I was like, oh, I need to go there. And when I came, I was like, ah, okay, here I am.
Wow. And did you test it out before you moved here? Like, did you spend some time here before you moved?
I came to investigate.
Okay.
And as soon as I arrived, like literally, I feel like as my car hit the ground when I got on the island, I just had this overwhelming feeling of coming home. And so then it was just a matter of like looking for a place to live and doing some of that. Yeah. I didn't really, my lease was up at the same time or like right around that time. It must have been like a month before my lease was up in Port Townsend. Mm. So I just, once I found that, I was like, oh, okay, let's do the next thing. I got a P.O. box and started transitioning over here, I guess.
That's so cool. Yeah, former guest of the show, Ainsley McLeod, who I know you're friends with, had a very similar experience in that he just heard Vashon and he just knew like it was a calling. Oh, yep, got to move up there.
Yeah, that was, it was like a very, yeah, it was very loud.
Yeah.
Like that word is important. Okay, what is that? What is that place? I had already been feeling, like I said, I'm like, I love, this is a cute place, but it's not my place. Mm. So I was only there for about 6 months or so. So I had been already starting in my body to get this antsy feeling of like, oh no, I need to be in my place. Where is my place?
Okay.
And then this conversation arose and it's sort of like exactly what, in effect, I may even tell this story in my book, Getting Answers, because it defines really that moment of once you start asking questions, answers start arriving very easily. I was just standing in my girlfriend's living room and she was telling me about her weekend and the rest, I guess, is history.
Wow, very cool. And I resonate with a part of that. My journey to Vashon is much different and a little bit longer and some roundabouts, but I didn't know it was possible to feel like at home in a place. If that I felt at home with my family growing up, and then I went to Washington, D.C. and had a great community of friends, and I definitely got I like the energy of the city. It was very great for that time of my life, but I've never felt as connected to the land, I guess, which is very interesting.
As
I do here.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know I was missing until I got here.
Yeah. I've always felt like the land is very sentient. Like to me, it felt like, or it's always felt like if it belongs to you or if you belong to it, it's like, welcome home, friend. Mm. Yes. Mm. Come in. Let's find you a home. All the things. And if it's not your place, it's like, yes, come on, check it out. And then, I don't know, it seems like there's around about a year time when people are like they start to itch. They can't see their friends in the city as often as they want. They don't like that the grocery store closes at 9, like whatever the pieces are. And then they just exit gracefully, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it's always felt to me like the island is, if it's yours, then it's very welcoming and all the right things happen.
Well, it definitely jives with my experience. And as a spiritual, intuitive person, what are your thoughts about the Vashon community? Like, what do you like about living here? Besides the sense of home, clearly.
Yeah. So many things, really. I mean, so many things I love about this place. One, I love the land itself and just the feeling of it surrounded by water, all the things. But the people are also as precious, I would say. There's just so many gifted, creative people here that are, I guess I could probably sum it up in that a lot of the people here don't fit a mold. And I don't mean, I just mean that that's just not who they are. And they're not even necessarily trying to do that. It doesn't, like, I could use myself as an example. Mm. I'm just who I am, and I'm doing whatever it is that I do in the world, even though it doesn't look like anyone else, perhaps, or most people. And I love that about this island as well. It just feels like it's full of souls who are just sort of doing whatever it is that they do, and what the traditional or usual way of doing it, it doesn't, it only matters if it matters. It's not something that they base their life on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, what I'm totally saying? It's making me think of that bumper sticker, which I love, the Island of Misfits, which misfits might be a strong word, but, you know, people that are doing something different. And it's like, that's almost the common thread, is that we're all, yeah, doing different things.
Totally. Just following whatever is our uniqueness instead of, you know, the way that we were taught in school, or the straight line that maybe doesn't add up to satisfaction for a soul, but adds up to, you know, something on a resume.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's less important to people here than people elsewhere.
Yeah. Beautifully said. And on a personal level, what is inspiring you these days?
I love that question. Well, I just took my daughter to Paris for 10 days for the first time. She's 12. And Paris, just France in general, is, I've lived there before, and it's, I would say it was deeply nourishing for me to be there. But I think what, so that was inspiring, but I think actually what is the most relative that is inspiring me is the coming home. I love the moments when you come home from a journey and it's such a liminal space. You're like neither here nor there. You're not the same person you were when you left, because you've had so many experiences and insights and different thoughts and seen things. To me, it always feels like there's this moment where before I like get in my clothes of who I am right now as a professional seer, a teacher, a mother, before I like don all of the things that usually surround me, there are these moments that sometimes last a few days where I get to be like, wait, before I put all that on, who would I like to be? Let me just check in. Does that still feel like the way that I want to go and the things that I want to do and fill my time with? And I just love that liminal space where I don't feel like I've donned my regular life yet. Mm-hmm. And I get to ask and question, if the slate is totally blank, what do I want to put in?
Very cool. That's a great way to think about it too. It is always an interesting like transition time. I've told my family before, sometimes it feels like an out of body experience when you get back from a trip and you're in your house for the first time in, you know, a week or more, and
leave this on the laundry machine.
Like in a haze. Wait, is this what living room always looked this way?
Totally.
Oh, that's fun. Well, Ame, we end every show with a fun little lightning round of questions just to get to know you a little bit better. Are you game?
Totally.
Cool. Well, the first question is, do you have a favorite beverage on Vashon?
I guess I would probably say chai from the Snapdragon.
Ooh, yum. Very spicy and good.
Yeah.
If you're not at home or work, where can people most often find you on the island? Do you have any favorite haunts?
Well, I think the place that I'm most seen is probably around town. I live pretty close to town, and we just have a new puppy who's four-ish months old. So my son and I walk him almost every morning, and we kind of do this loop around town because we live close to town. So that's someplace I'm often seen.
And nothing's as eye-catching as a puppy.
Totally.
Yeah, you can't fly under the radar with a puppy. And do you have any pet peeves about island living?
You know, I thought of this, and I honestly couldn't come up with anything. There's obviously things that are different here than if you've lived on the mainland, but I just sort of feel like, well, it's par for the course. It's kind of why you're here, why I'm here. So I like literally couldn't think of anything, and did try.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure you can guess the most common answer, but
yeah, I'm sure.
And do you have a favorite Vashon Island tradition?
My husband and our group of friends started Stupid Bike Night many, many years ago. And so I would say that is very near and dear to our hearts.
Wait, you personally helped start it?
Yes, wow. But I would say it was more like my husband and our guy friends. I don't feel like I personally started it. I've been within it from the beginning as periphery and then into it. But it's a really big deal for our whole family because there's a lot of creation and my kids decide what bikes they're going to make every year. And it's like months of preparation behind the scenes for all of us. So, or I mostly do the same thing every year, but it's really big for our family. So I think that's what would be my favorite tradition.
That's
for sure.
Super cool. Now that my kids are getting a little older, I'm going to start attending that because many people, that's their favorite too. And where can people find you to learn more about you and your work?
They can find me on my website.
All right.
Which is aimeecartier.com and or spreadingblessings.com. Same, it'll take you to the same place. If you're interested in the Intuition for Activists thing that I have coming up, you can go to aimeecartier.com/IFA, as in Intuition for Activists. And, you know, I'm less and less, hardly at all anymore on social media. I still have a presence there at Aimee Cartier on Instagram, Facebook, and I started a Blue Sky social account, but I just am not feeling the social media anymore. So I'm there, but not really.
Yeah. And you produce new shows pretty regularly. So that's a good way to keep in
absolutely.
Touch, I suppose.
And you can find me. It's on Voice of Vashon Radio, but it's also a podcast. So you can find Intuition for Changemakers wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Yeah, I subscribe now. So we'll have the links to all of this in the show notes on the Voice of Vashon website or in the show notes if you're listening to this on podcast too.
Perfect.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Grace. Such a fun time.
And thank you for listening. Again, this is Inspired Island on KVSH LP Vashon, your listener-supported island connection. Until next time, stay inspired.